So happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in. Here's Pastor Jesse.
We give the Lord just one more shout of praise in this place. Hallelujah. If you wouldn't mind, please stay standing. In a second, I'm going to read the word. First, let me introduce myself. My name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here at Eternity Church. If you're new, I'm just so grateful, so thankful that you're here today. And we've got a special welcome bag for you out in the lobby there. And I just hope you'll go grab that after the service. One of our hearts here is just extra generosity. We want to be over the top generous. So we got a gift bag out there for you with good stuff. It's not like, you know, a ceramic mug, you know, like there's good stuff in there. Not that ceramic mug's all right, you know, but there's more than that out there, all right? We just want to bless you. Hey, I see a friend of mine here, Pastor Guy and Vicky here. Can we welcome a couple of my friends to church today? So good to be in church. You ready for the word? Awesome. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 2 to 7, it says, this is King David, all right? This is King David talking. You ready for it?
Yeah.
Good. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God, gold for the gold work, silver for the silver work, bronze for the bronze work, iron for the iron work, wood for the woodwork. I love how specific this is, you know? Just in case you thought that the gold was for the woodwork, or the wood was for the silver work, or the bronze was for the iron work, they're like, we've got wood for the woodwork, gold for the gold work, bronze for the bronze work, right? It's like maybe the people who were speaking who weren't super intelligent. But anyway, I digress. As well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colors, all kinds of fine stone and marble, all of these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God. Over and above, somebody say extra.
Extra.
Over and above everything that I have already provided for his holy temple. 3,000 talents of gold, 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls of the buildings, for the gold work and for the silver work and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now that's what I've done. This is King David. Now that's what I've done, he's saying. Now who of you is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord today? Who of you? And then in verse 6, it says that the leaders of families and the officers of the tribes of Israel and the commanders of thousands and the commanders of hundreds and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave to the work of the Lord. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise if you receive his word today. You may take your seats, say hello to your neighbor, high-five them, say welcome to church. Or I can do it in German, welcome to church. My grandfather was German, so I'm allowed to make jokes about Germans. All right. That's the rule, isn't it? Yeah, that's the rule. Yeah. I want to talk today about being extra passionate. Extra passionate. Have I got some extra passionate people in the house today? Yeah. Let me tell you, I want to tell you a little secret about our church. We're passionate, right? So if you're new here, something else you need to know about when we preach. I don't preach to a boring crowd, okay? Like I know you didn't come to church today to watch an Australian just say like g'day and perform on stage, right? You came to participate in the Word of God, right? And as you participate in the Word of God, you're gonna receive it from God, all right? This is not a performance, this is not a show. So I want you to participate. I want you to say amen if it's good. I want you to say yes, come on, preach, that's good if it's good, right? Now if it's bad, I just email like Jed but if it's good, say amen. Can you do that for me? Let's practice. God is good. There we go, awesome. Hey, who knows? See, we're passionate here at Eternity Church, all right? Like, we're passionate. But who knows your God is passionate? Your God is a passionate God. Everything that God does it with his whole heart. Just take a look at creation, right? Like the incredible nature of the world that we live in, the color in the world, right? He didn't just make a beige world, you know? It's not just all black and white. It's loaded with color, right? Look at the stars. It's not just a sun, a sun star right by us to keep us lit and a moon for the night. No, the whole sky is decorated like it's Christmas every single night. Come on. Look at the way the world rotates around the sun at the exact right spot so that it can sustain life on earth. Look at the person sitting next to you. They were fearfully and wonderfully made and designed by God with care, with detail, with passion, amen. He put love in each and every one of you. Look at the way God defended Israel. Look at the way God stuck by Israel when they rejected him and 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 ran away from him. Yet God honored the word and the promises that he made to their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Even when they walked away, God is a passionate God. Amen? He's a passionate God. Look at the detail in the wings of a fly, in the wings of a bee, in the wings of an eagle. Look at the way that a mustard seed can grow from such a tiny and seemingly insignificant, uninfluential little ball into a gigantic, overbearing tree. And all of that is nothing compared to how much passion God has for you. That's nothing. All of that is nothing compared to the love and the passion in the heart and the mind of God for you. 1 John 3 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." That was 1 John. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, God died for us. That's Romans 5:8. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power. Someone say power. Together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of the fullness of God. That was Romans 3:17. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, not even the future, hallelujah, nor any power, nor any height, nor anything else in all of God's creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:38. Come on, God is passionate about you. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Yes, nothing, not even that thing that you're thinking of, but what about? No, nothing can separate us from the love of God that he has lavished on us and displayed in Christ Jesus. Jesus tells the story of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son, right? Great stories, fantastic. But these are stories of a passionate Father in heaven. These are stories of a loving God. That when we wander away like a lost sheep, he pursues us. Yeah. That when we are lost like a lost coin, he's gonna tear the house apart looking for us. Amen. The parable of the lost son shows us that even when in a deliberate decision, we throw it all in his face, we take our inheritance and walk away and squander it and everything else that God has given us, that God has done for us, that even after all of that, he stands at the end of the road waiting for you to come back, waiting to give you another inheritance. Come on, he's got an extra inheritance for you. You squandered the first one, maybe. You walked away. He gave you everything and you threw it in his face, but he's got an extra inheritance because he's got extra grace and extra mercy and extra favor and extra love and extra hope that if you come back, he will receive you. Amen. Because he's got more. Somebody say more. The lost coin reminds me of when I lose my freaking phone. Anybody else? Right? Like, and you don't lose your phone, you lose your freaking phone. Because when you lose your phone, you lose your freaking mind. Right? You're freaking out everywhere like you lost your soul. Right? Was that just me? Maybe that was too far. I don't know. Like when you're looking for your wallet, when you're looking for your keys, right? But everything is in our phones these days, right? Like everything. We even sell things and buy things with our phones. We use our phones to pay at the cash register. And I know, and the weird Christians are like, here's the mark of the beast. I'm like, shut up. You know those weird Christians? You know, oh yeah, you can't buy or sell without it. It's the mark of the beast. It's not the mark of the beast. It's a freaking phone. All right? Just don't be a weird Christian. Right? I can't stand weird Christians. Anybody else? Like, give me a wave if you're like, no, someone in here is like, but that's me. Then quit it already, all right? Come on, preach the gospel of peace, which is the gospel of grace, the good news of grace, all right? You don't need to be going out there saying, y'all are gonna get raptured, come on. You know, like, anyway, moving on. Someone say move on. I'm sorry, I love you. And I love the book of Revelation, but don't even pretend you know what it's talking about. All right, anyway. We buy and sell stuff with our phones, right? We do everything with them, right? We even unlock and start our cars from our phones, right? Like me, the second it gets below 75 degrees, I'm like, I need to start my car, right? Early in the morning, warm that sucker up, right? Like, come on. We use our phones to watch other people live their lives on social media, right? We use our phones to pretend that we're living just as good a life on social media, right? And some people, only old people, actually make phone calls with their phones, right? And so when we lose it, it feels like you're naked, doesn't it? You're like, I literally feel exposed, vulnerable, lost, crazy, I'm losing my mind, I'm tearing the house apart, the neighbors are watching me unbolt the seats in my car to see if my phone is under the seat. People think you're losing your mind. Last year, I lost my wallet, and I went for a drive. In the morning, I went to the gym, and had coffee with someone, then had breakfast with someone, then I had an appointment at church, and, you know, four different places, and it's only like 9:30 now, you know, and I can't find my wallet. I'm like, where's my wallet? It's got my green card in it. I'm going to get deported if I don't find this thing, you know, like, where's my wallet, you know, and I'm freaking out, I'm looking everywhere, and I'm driving. I had a Malibu, right, at the time, you know, before I became a man and bought a truck, and then, I'm just kidding, I just said that for my mates who drive trucks, all right, I like all the cars, you know, I'm into it, as long as it goes fast, I don't care, right, like, and so I'm flying around town in this little turbo thing that I had. And like, I tell you, I'm going Psycho Billy Ninja on the interstate. Like, I'm everywhere trying to get my wallet. I go to all those four places, then I go back to all those four places, and then I just go like, stuff it, I'm going home. Just done. Going home, I need a hug from my wife. And so I go home, said, baby, we're gonna get deported. I don't have my green card, this is illegal right now. And anyway, I go check the mail, and as I'm walking past the back of my car, I see my wallet sitting on the back windshield, just sitting there. I'm like, I drove this car like a freaking race car. How is that there? There must have been some Holy Ghost gravity going on or something, keeping that sucker on the back windshield. But I was losing my mind. Have you ever done that? Like, you're losing your mind. Everybody you meet that you ask, is my wallet there? And when they say no, you're like, I know you're a thief. I know you've got it, you dirty thief. You're going to jail. Like, you lose your mind. But these emotions that we feel, these emotions of loss, these emotions of what if, these feelings of lack, that's how I picture God tearing the world apart when you walk away. That's how I picture the heart of God when you walk away. When you were lost, that was God. When you aren't living in the purposes of God in your life, that was God. When before you found Christ, or really before he found you, right? He was never lost. That was God. He was tearing the place apart, putting the right people in the right places to find you. He called a search party. He's like, we got to get the band together. He said, hey, you go left. Hey, I'll go right. You go down the middle, but today we're going to find Tyler. Today we're going to find Riley. Today we're going to find Jenna. Today's the day. For many of you, the Eternity Church is the search party that God called together to find you. And the Word of God is just story after story after story that's meant to display His love and His passion for His creation and for you, the jewel of His creation, His most prized possession. God tore the world apart to find you. But listen up, when He found you, He didn't call you to live a boring, passionless, beige. I'm stuck on that beige thing, aren't I? And, like, no one in eternity will ever buy another beige car again. He didn't call you to a boring, loveless beige. Que sera, sera, whatever will be kind of life. That's not what you were called to. He called you to be like Him. To put a little bit of passion, a little bit of fire in your hearts, amen. In fact, Scripture tells us in everything you do, whether it be in word or in action, do it with all of your strength. Do it all as though you're working for the Lord, for it truly is the Lord whom you are working for. Do it all. God's called you to live a life of passion, to live a life of reason. To live a life with purpose, amen. Yeah. How many of you have found that when you gave your life to Jesus Christ and you opened up your heart to the Holy Spirit's leading, how many of you found that your passions and your desires began to change? Give me a wave. Yeah. Right, yeah, the things started to change. The things that you used to find important no longer seem so important. The things you never cared about now seem important to your family and you do them every single day, no matter what. See, I find the more I chase after Jesus and open up my heart to His will in my life, that my desires and my passions begin to change. Galatians 5:24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Psalm 69, I love this, says, for zeal for your house consumes me. Zeal for your house consumes me. The disciples, Jesus' disciples, remembered that passage when Jesus was just tearing up the temple of God. When people had come in and they turned the house of God into a den of thieves, Jesus was fired up about it. And the disciples remembered this passage, that zeal for the house of God will consume him. See, when we chase after God, He redirects our passions. Wrong, sinful, old passions die. Misdirected passions are redirected and sanctified in Jesus' name. Come on. And new passion is formed in our hearts. See, maybe you used to want to sing and make music to make money. Now you want to sing and make music to bring glory to God. Yeah? Maybe you wanted to make a lot of money so you could live on a private island, like isolated from the world somewhere, famous for being weird or eccentric, because if you're super rich, there's no such thing as weird, just eccentric, right? Like maybe you wanted to be that. But now you want to grow your business and make money to resource the church and the mission of God in Des Moines, in Adel, in central Iowa. Maybe you used to love the female body so much that you slept with a different woman every single week. But now God has sanctified that passion into a passion for one woman. And now your marriage is glorifying God and it's producing offspring and children that are being raised in the house of God, bringing glory to God, preaching the gospel of God. Amen. He's changed your passions. He's redirected your passions. He's sanctified them. Maybe you've always had a passion or a compassion for people less fortunate than yourself. And now God's using that passion through the church now to show God's love to the community, like my friend Mal, who finally found an outlet for her passion when she found a home at Eternity Church. See, some of our old passions weren't totally wrong, right? Some were simply misdirected and distorted by the devil. See, some of them were gifts God gave himself. Like my friend I was just talking about, that was a true story of a friend who gave me permission to talk about him today. He was obsessed with women and he wanted another woman every single week. And by the way, if you're living that life, I'm not judging you. It's not my job to convict you. When I convict people, I convict them without power to change. I just want you to seek God. And when God convicts you, he convicts you and gives you the power to change, all right? See, some of you need to hear this. As believers, when you go up to someone and you try to convict someone for something they're doing, all you're doing is bringing them a war with no power to win the war. What we want is the Holy Spirit to speak to people. When he speaks to people, he says, here's got to be a war, but here's the power to win the war. Here's the power to have victory. Here's the power to have a changed life that brings glory to God. Amen. That's why the Holy Spirit convicts the world of their sin. Not you, not me, not our job. But my friend's deal before, God gave him a passion to love women. That's hardwired in his body and his mind. But the devil misdirected it and distorted it. Some of them are gifts that God himself gave you, but the devil tries to use them to draw you away from God and away from God's purpose. But as we draw near to God, as we say, no, I'm a flea from the devil and all that he wants for me, and I'm going to run toward God, I'm going to open up my heart to God and to his leading, then God will align our passions and our desires with his purpose and his power. Amen. So if you didn't know, we're a passionate church. That's us. Like we're a little bit extra, right? We're a little bit over the top, right? Why? Come on, we're a passionate church. We're passionate for the house of God. We're passionate for the mission of God. We worship him with passion. We love God with passion. We love people in our lives with passion. We're passionate about being generous. We're passionate about being gracious. We're passionate about being a house of mercy, amen? We're passionate about our faith. Sometimes I feel like David, you know, King David, and say, you know what? You think that you think the way I'm worshiping God is too crazy? Well, I'm about to get even more undignified than this. Amen. Now here's the thing. When David said that, David was worshiping God naked. Butt flipping naked, right? Worshiping God. Someone comes up to him and goes, hey, you're nuts. And he's like, you know what? I'm about to get even more undignified than this. Now, in my mind, I thought worshiping naked is about as undignified as it can get, but apparently he's like, there's a whole nother level that I can take this whole thing to. And I'm like, I don't even know. Now, I want y'all to know in church right now that I'm preaching metaphorically, and any of you get butt naked in here, we will get you out of here, all right? Like, quick, you'll be gone, all right? Now, we love you, but we don't want that up in here, okay? Come on, I'm metaphorical right now. We cool with that? Good. Someone say, move on now, all right? All right. I'm about to get even more undignified than this, amen. You think the amount of money I gave to my church last year, last month, last week is crazy? Well, I'm about to give even more than this. You think my faith is crazy? I'm about to get even more undignified than this as I believe for cancer to be healed, as I pray for your husband who left 7 years ago to walk back in that door, as I pray for your wife who left you to come back in Jesus' name. Blind eyes seeing, deaf ears hearing, lame legs being healed and walking, oppressed people being released, poor people made rich, hurting people made whole, weak people made strong, bitter people becoming sweet in Jesus' name. I'm about to become even more undignified than this because of zeal for the house of God and the things of God consumes me more than what you think about me. John Wesley said in the Bible, I'm just kidding, he didn't write the Bible. John Wesley said, light yourself on fire and people will come for miles to watch you burn. Why are we a little bit extra here? Because ain't nobody coming to watch mediocre burn. I know about you when you got invited to church, but I know your friend didn't say, you gotta come to Eternity Church, it's just Joker. Ain't nobody saying to their friends, hey, you've got to come check out my church. It's just so average. You're like, you know what? I'm good. You totally have to buy this car. It's just like every other car. Ain't nobody doing that. No, here, we set ourselves on fire so the world will come and watch it burn, amen, every single week. Hey, you need to come to Eternity Church. They are so over the top, exceedingly abundant, more than the community around us could ever ask or even imagine that we would do in our community and in your life. We're so extra. You need to come check it out. All right, I will come and watch that burn. Amen. That was better than your amen. I'm just saying that right now. 2 Timothy says, see, I think John Wesley was plagiarizing. 2 Timothy says, to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands, for the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power. For the Spirit of God does not make us mediocre, but makes us stand out. For the Spirit of God does not make us average, but sets us on fire. Amen. Yeah. The Spirit of God has given us power. If you want to change people's lives, if you want to leave a legacy after you're gone, if you want to make a positive impact or even a half-decent impact, start fanning into flame. Yeah. The gift of God that He placed in you, and the world will come and watch it burn. You got to set yourself apart. You got to stand out. Work hard. Go hard. Be a little extra. And people will come and see what God is doing in you. And they'll give their lives to Jesus Christ in this church, standing next to you in Jesus' name. In a few minutes, we're going to pray for people. We're going to pray for people that God would realign our passions for His purpose and add His power, amen. We're going to pray for people who are feeling passionless. There are people in this room who, if not for somebody forcing you, you might not have even got out of bed. I'm praying that you will have new passion today. I don't want the doona to be the duvet, comforter. Sorry, it's a doona in Australia. Anyway, I'm telling you for real though, like, that's funny, but this is important. I don't want you to be laying in bed thinking that your duvet, that your comforter is the best thing in your life. I'm praying that today, people who are living a quesera, whatever, I got no purpose, I don't even know why I'm getting out of bed, that I'm praying that today, that God would bring life, that God would bring fire, that God would bring passion, that God would bring hope back into your life, so that when you wake up tomorrow, you're like, bing, Holy Ghost, what do you want to do today in my life? What do you want to do today around my life? We're going to pray for you in just a few minutes. Before that, I'm going to take just about 7 minutes. Eight. I'm going to talk to you about our miracle offering that we're taking up on November 23rd and 21st. Sorry. Yeah, we're just, you know, going to roll back in time and take it up 3 days before that. November 23rd and November 24th, Saturday, Sunday. I want to talk about that. Are you excited about that? Come on. By the way, I love being in a church where I can talk about money and people aren't like, no, get behind me, Steve. No, like, that's ridiculous. I want to tell you, money is mentioned a lot in the Word of God. We only preach about it 3 or 4 times max every single year out of 52 sermons, which is way below the ratio of what the Word of God talks about money, by the way. One of the most talked about topics in the whole Word of God. And if you go to any church where they won't talk about money, they're not preaching the full gospel. Because it's in there a lot. That was harsh, I know, but true. 1 Chronicles, King David said, now who of you is willing to consecrate yourselves to the Lord today? He's literally asking them, who is willing to set themselves apart for the holy work of the Lord? Who is willing to devote themselves to God and to God's calling? And the response is absolutely mind-blowing. Who of you is willing to set yourself apart for God? And verse 6, then the leaders of families and the officers of tribes, the commanders of thousands, the commanders of hundreds, the officials in charge of the king's work, they gave. They gave, willingly, they gave toward the work of the Lord. Who of you is willing to separate yourselves, to consecrate yourselves, to devote yourselves to God's calling? Here's some cash. That's fascinating, isn't it? Absolutely fascinating. They had a huge task in front of them. They had a massive project that God had given them. Something God had asked them to do, something that would bless the world, something that would bless their community, something that would enrich their relationship with God. But most importantly, something that God had asked them to do. And the king's saying, who of you is willing to align yourselves? Who of you is willing to set yourself apart for the work of the Lord today? And their response was to give a special offering. That's mind-blowing. They gave above. They gave on top of their tithes. They gave more. They gave extra. So why did they give finance when asked who is willing to set themselves and their lives apart for the Lord? Because finance touches, influences, and is influenced by almost every single facet of your life. Every single facet of your life. I see EM nodding. He knows all about it. It influences everything in your life, doesn't it? Shoes cost money. Gas in your car costs money. A little bit more than we wish. Your car costs money, even if it's beige. Shouldn't have, but it did. You have bills to pay in your house. They cost money, amen. Your phone, it costs money. That phone that nobody uses as a phone, it costs money. Your food costs money. Your heating and your cooling costs money. School fees cost money. Dental work costs money. The face surgery, the nose sinusy garbage surgery that I had 2 weeks ago cost money. Children cost money. Oh my gosh, we can say that again. Children cost money. Good grief, I got a $500 dental bill last week. Children cost money, just brush your stinking teeth with the toothbrush I bought you that costs money. Children cost money, right? Let me tell you, the best things in life are not free. That is a lie from hell. These little creatures are expensive. But I love them. I'm glad they're here. I wish they came with bank accounts. Anyway, almost everything costs money, doesn't it? So when we give extra, we're saying, God, I'm aligning my life with your plans for my life. God, I'm aligning my passions with your passions. I'm aligning my vision with your vision. I'm aligning my heart with your heart. I'm aligning my finances with my finances. I'm aligning every single facet of my life with the plans and the purposes and the power of God. I'm going all in. I want your favor, favor, favor on every aspect and facet of my life. Amen. Again, if you hate it when preachers preach about money, it's mentioned, one of the most mentioned topics in the whole Word of God. In fact, it is the main subject of more than half of Jesus' parables. How about that? God cares about money and where we send it. But why? For the same reason I said just before, because it touches your whole life. So this year when we receive our miracle offering, I just want to share with you. I don't want it to just, this year I just really want us to intentionally, it to be about an alignment, not just about a miracle for the church. Not just, although this is important, trust me, this year was so expensive. A church that grows this fast, it's expensive, right? And a lot of things God has done this year, but it's not, I don't want it to just be about us ending the year well and starting next year in a solid foundation. I want it to be about an alignment as well. God, I'm taking this extra opportunity to align my life with your plans for my life. I'm declaring a miracle over my life. Last year, Lauren and I were saving to go on a trip to Australia, but God said, give it. And we're like, I don't, let's do that. So we did that. And guess what? A few months ago, someone called us and said, hey, we're going to pay for your whole family to go to Australia in 2020. Your whole family to go to Australia in 2020. All expenses paid. Let me tell you, that was a way better deal than I had before because I hadn't saved up all the money and it wasn't all expenses. I was hoping to just sort of suck some money out of my dad when I got there, you know? Come on. But now, because I obeyed, it's all expenses paid. This is a better deal than I had before. Hey, Jesse, take your family back to the home country so your kids can see. There's a family in our church who gave me permission to share this story. They started tithing last year after our fruit and veg sermon series. They own a great, successful business. And they started tithing after fruit and veg. And that was a good sermon series. We'll do that again next year, okay? But then they also gave a large gift, a bigger gift than they had ever given before. And they were stepping out in faith, declaring and praying for their biggest year yet in their business. That as they are faithful, that they will remain faithful. They're like, God, we're faithful. We will stay faithful. As you increase this, we will stay faithful. We will go over the top, exceedingly abundant. We will give extra. And guess what? This year, from about the day or two after that gift, I'm not even stinking kidding you. From about a day or two after, this year has been their biggest year ever. And it looks like next year is going to be bigger. What am I saying? That if you're given the miracle offering, you'll be rich? No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we all as a church need to pray and seek God about what He would have us give in the miracle offering. And then as we obey what He tells you to do as a family, He will do what He promises to do. That's what I'm saying. So this year when we give the miracle offering, I'm not just praying for a miracle in our church. I'm praying for it in your family, in your finances, in your health, in your relationship. I'm praying for it everywhere. And in 2 weeks, we're taking up our miracle offering. Now let me tell you what's happened this year, what's happening next year, and we'll move on. This year we have so far seen over 900 souls saved. Come on. Over 900 souls saved so far. We've had over 900 visits. We've given away over 900 welcome bags. Come on. Why? Because we're on fire. People coming to watch it burn. Amen. Our church has grown by November, by the start of November. So not even counting November and December. Our church has grown by over 40% so far this year. It'll probably end up being closer to 50%. We have grown and grown and grown. God is blessing what's happening here. We gave $50,000 to renovate and build out McKinley Elementary in Des Moines to build out their new library and resource center because of your generosity. We had a work day there yesterday, and before the end of Big November, it will be completely finished. You'll get to see some photos. Actually, the principal is coming to church here on the 30th and the 1st to come and say thank you to you for your generosity. We renovated three buildings, West Campus. We got the headquarters down the road because we kicked our staff out to make room for Kids Church. So we renovated that. We buttoned up the renovation here at Central Campus in time to start again and do it again. Come on. We bought the land in front and the parking next to us so that we can build a 1,500-seat auditorium out the front one day and ease up parking on both sides, entrances on both sides, to ease up that traffic jam that happens out there some days in between the two services on Sunday morning. It's been a big year, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's been a big year. Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to tell you that we don't have a destination. This isn't like, oh, we've arrived. We will never arrive. Yeah. Our vision is not a destination. It is a direction.
Yeah.
And we're going to run that way, amen. So what's happening next year in 2020? Well, let me put it out there and let you know. We're going to start another campus in the Des Moines Metro.
Yeah.
So that's happening. We need to hire 7 or 8 more staff members. Come on. That's minimum. We're starting ECOM, Eternity College of Ministries. That's going to be based at HQ down the road. We're going to start with 20 young people signed up doing an internship, devoting a year or two of their life to the ministry, learning how to meet without having to be sent interstate somewhere, fully accredited by North Central University. Come on. We're starting discovery classes. It's been great seeing the church grow. I'm looking forward to seeing people's lives just experience and discover the fullness of a full, vibrant relationship with God. And so we're starting discovery classes, discover the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, His involvement in your life, speaking in tongues, what's that about, prophecy and how to do that, and discovering the DNA of eternity people will be another class, discovering stewardship will be another class. That's not just about finances, you got to steward your time, steward everything God has given you, amen. Discovering new life for new Christians, discovering the vibrancy of a powerful prayer life as well. All that's happening. A couple of other things though. We desperately need to expand our kids' facilities. Like, they're getting too tight right now, right? Like, the weeks where this whole thing is like jam-packed. I know some of you didn't bring your kids today. I don't know what's happened, but anyway. We go up into those risers most weeks now in these Sunday morning services. And when we do, man, that kids' churches, it can be a little bit chaotic, you know, dropping kids off, other people picking kids up. And we get that, and I thank you for your patience there. I really do. I thank you for your understanding. When we bought this building, it had concrete walls where concrete walls were, and they stay there. And so, so what we're doing is we're launching this, we're renovating, starting next year, that whole wing that used to be the offices. And it's going to be another elementary kids program to ease that congestion, to give us more space. Come on, Jenna's pretty, Pastor Jenna's excited. Yeah. It's gonna be unreal. We're gonna have a junior kids program, a junior elementary and a senior elementary with more targeted and specific teaching to your children so we can bless them. So super excited about that. We're also gonna recarpet all of Kids Church out east and repaint and design that whole area out there to make it flow better and a more exciting opportunity for the kids and families at West Campus. Another really exciting thing that we're doing as well next year is we're starting a champions room, okay? See, our West Campus and our Central Campus, we literally have one room left, just one room, and then like the whole building's done and it's like sardines until we build that thing out there, right? Like, and so we have one room left and we're making a champions room. That's a room for any kids with special needs. And it's not a room that any child will have to go to. We would never do that. It's a special room on the first floor of both campuses where any child with any special need can go if they need to take a moment and spend some time with a specially trained champion volunteer. And so we're gonna train those volunteers, we're gonna invest in that. And of course, we're gonna continue to do great things in schools, some over the top, exceedingly abundant, extra special things for local schools here like we do every single year. In fact, this week I'm meeting with two of the local school superintendents to talk about ways that we can blow their minds, because being noticed by the church should not be your fear, but your desire. Amen. So why am I telling you all this today? As you stand up, please stand up. Would the real you please stand up? That's probably not allowed to be sung in church, is it? Like, totally not allowed, ever, right? Yeah, I didn't. I said you. I didn't say Slim Shady at all. Not say his name, all right? Anyway, why am I telling you all that today? I'm telling you today, now, so you can come prepared on the 23rd and 24th. See, because Scripture says each should give what he and she has decided in their heart to give, not under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. So we want you giving in faith. We want you giving in cheerfulness. We don't want you coming in 2 weeks' time and taking up the offering and you being like, well, I guess I better. No, I want you to pray and decide in your heart how you can help our church end strong and start with a really strong foundation next year, so that finances will never, ever be the reason we can't do what we've got in our hearts to do for Des Moines and Central Iowa. Amen. So next week you'll receive a letter in the mail and a card that will encourage you to all come prepared for what God is going to do on the 23rd and 24th. I'm actually not going to be preaching on the miracle offering that week. That's this weekend. That'll be a different sermon altogether. It's just going to be a part of the service. We'll be collecting that offering, okay? Now, let me tell you this, though. This message will change your life if you grasp it. Not only the bit about your passions, too, but also the bit about the miracle offering as well. See, I'm believing for people to take steps of faith. Don't ever get to the point in your life where you're like, I'm done with faith. I'm just going to for the rest of my life. No. 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 Keep living. Keep taking steps of faith. Keep growing in your faith. Amen. Keep learning the goodness of God when we obey God, when we step out in faith and land in His favor. Amen. So as we take that step of faith, I want you to declare that we trust God. We're asking Him to do big things in our lives because He will respond. Don't just give, right? Like, I sound like I'm now like giving you reasons not to give, but seriously, I'd rather you not give if it was just because, well, Pastor Jesse needs me to. No, seriously, please don't do that. I want you to give, and I want you to ask God to do something with it. Amen? Amen? So now we're going to pray for people. We're going to pray for people who know that God is speaking to them, saying that their passions are out of line or that there's passions in their life that need to die and be buried. I don't need you to come and tell us what that is. Like, we don't need you to embarrass. God's speaking to you. You can share it if you feel confident, but you don't have to. Just come and say to the person who's going to pray for you, hey, God's telling me there's some things, some passions in my life that need to die, that need to be buried. Would you pray for me? And they'll lay hands on you. Scripture says to lay hands on. That means they'll put their hand on your shoulder or on your head, and they'll pray that those passions would be crucified with Christ and that God would realign your passions and give you new passions. Amen. I'm praying right now that people with distorted passions would be redirected and be able to use their passions for the glory of God today. I'm praying that people with no passion just waken up, and it's so hard to get out of bed. I'm not judging you. It hurts me to know there are people in this room that struggle just to get out of bed. I'm praying that God will do a miracle in your life so that tomorrow when you wake up, you're like, Holy Ghost, what do you want me to do today? And I know He'll speak to you, and He'll give you the power and the strength to get up and live that day. Do not give up on your life. God has got purpose and power coming your way in Jesus' name. Amen. It's going to be a new day. There's going to be a revival in your heart today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Before we open up the front for prayer, though, what I want to do is ask you if there's anyone in here who wants to give their life to Jesus Christ. I think this message pretty clearly sums up how much God loves you and what He wants to do in your life. The idea that God is a God of just rules and all that gear. No, God is going to lead you on the greatest journey of your life. God wants to take away the shame that you've been carrying for past mistakes. Some of you are carrying shame from things that other people did to you or around you. And it's time to let God just release you of that shame and bring hope, bring joy, bring peace back into your heart. Amen. And so if you've been living your life away from God, today I'm asking you to pray a prayer with me and give Him your life. Maybe you've never had a friendship with God. Maybe you've walked away. Today, come and give your life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray a prayer one line at a time, and I want you to pray it back with me one line at a time. Scripture says, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Amen? So that's what we're going to do. I'm not asking you to change anything. I'm not even asking you to quit sinning. It's not my job to come and try and change your life. I want you to meet Jesus. If there's something in your life that's offensive to Him or hurtful to you or destructive to others, He will speak to you when your heart's ready, and then He'll give you the power to win. So all I want to do is get you to pray a prayer with me and give your life to Jesus Christ. Would you do that with me today, church? Good. Everybody's going to pray it together, so you won't even be alone, all right? So everybody, in a bold voice, repeat after me, and especially those giving your life to Jesus. Dear God, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sin, and He rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all, and I receive forgiveness, and I receive this new life with You as my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live this life the way You designed it. Extra special, just for me, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Come on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Church, our service will be over in about 11 minutes. I want to encourage you to stick around. God's not done working on other people's lives, and if you walk out and disrupt things, and we don't want to distract people, okay? So stick around 11 more minutes. But what I know, I know it'll be like 5 or 6 minutes over today, but we never want to cut it short at this moment, right? There are people that need to give your lives to Jesus Christ, all right? Now, those people who prayed that prayer for the first time, or for the first time in a long time, there's two things that I want you to do right now, okay? Number one, I want you to text the word SAVED to the number 25827. It's up on the screen. It'll also be on social media after church, Instagram and Facebook. You can look at it on your phone if you still have it. If you haven't lost it, right? You can do that as well. Look it up. Text that number. If you do that this week in the mail, you're going to receive a gift card to a local coffee shop, right? And you're going to receive a Bible and a t-shirt and a CD of worship, like what we sing here at Eternity Church. Because our church is absolutely over the top obsessed with being generous, okay? So we want to give you that gift in the mail this week. The second thing is I want to pray for you. And so I'm going to ask everyone to close their eyes, and then I'm going to count to three, and I want you to lift up your hand. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to tell people what you're wearing, who you are. I just want to know who I'm praying for. So if every eye in this place could be closed, every head could be bowed, give people the privacy that they deserve. You wouldn't watch them sign their mortgage documents, so let's give them privacy while they make the greatest decision of their lives. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or for the first time in a long time, and you're coming back to Jesus, well, no one's looking around on the count of three, I want you to lift up your hand. 1, 2, 3. Lift up your hands all over this place. I see that hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? You can put your hands down, 11. You can put your hands down. Let's all reach out our hands in faith now and pray for those 11 people. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the Holy Spirit has come right now into their lives to take away shame, to take away pain, God, to take away regret of the things that they've done or things that have been done to them. God, we release them of their past hurt and shame and pain by the power of God in Jesus' name. God, we pray right now that hope would flood their hearts, that joy, that peace, that purpose, passion, new passions would begin to fan a flame in their hearts. God, I thank you for them, extra special people. Bless them today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we praise God one more time? Church, God bless you. Here's what's going to happen now for the rest of the service. We're going to have about a 4-minute altar call. We're going to pray for people. Come down the front. We don't need to spend half an hour with you. We just want to pray for you, all right? That God will do a miracle in your life. So come down the front if you want prayer, okay? Then immediately after that, Joe Falco, he's going to come back up here. He's going to talk for just 30 seconds about compassion. And after that, we're going to take up our regular tithes and offerings, okay? And it's not the miracle offering. It's not the compassion offering or anything like that. Just our regular weekly tithes and offerings. And I want to thank you in advance for giving in our tithes and offerings. I really appreciate your generosity and belief in the mission and vision of God in this house. So we'll do that. And then as we take up that offering, we're just going to sing one more song and close the service with a big praise party. Amen. So God bless you. If you need prayer, walk down the front right now. People are waiting to see you set free. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.